call the May 20th, 2019 regular meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Lozinski.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Fanouken.
Here.
Dr. Stoll and Dr. Winter are unavailable this evening.
Okay, let me find my agenda here. Okay, let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, and I thank you all for coming. It's nice to see a lot of people in the room. We usually don't get that, so thank you for being here. We have a lot to do tonight. Our members have had a chance to read the, I'm sorry, this is the approval of our agenda. Okay, is there a motion to approve our agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Kraft.
Yes.
Fanouken.
Yes.
Lozinski.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, at this time, we have our first hearing of the public, and if you have something to say, come forward, state your name and address, please.
Hi, I'll keep this brief because I know you've got a lot of students coming up. Liz Piernot, 1815 Settlers Reserve Way. I've had a ton of fun reading our handbooks for next year. I've got some concerns because of discrepancies, particularly DIS Burnson and the high school are pretty similar with student discipline, and the elementary school is completely different. And this is, by the way, attempting to speed read in one day. These fun documents, I think you go slightly cross-eyed. For example, there's a number of issues. Burnison, you still have last year, this current year's school start time, it doesn't have that new updated start time. School closure information due to weather is not necessarily consistent with the policies that we're currently following. Delayed start times listed for two of the buildings, DIS and the Burnison. We've never done that in the history of my time here at Westlake City Schools. You also have the time for able to be involved with extracurricular activities is completely different between DIS, Burnson, and high school. There's a lot of inconsistencies like that, and there's a number of things, and I have had a lot of fun with the red pen. I do applaud the update of the DIS appearance code, but you still have the elementary school and the Burnison on the old appearance code. That's something that should be looked at. Considering the DIS is moving to something slightly more progressive. And that's going very quickly. And the food guidelines, really like what you're rolling out, but I would prefer that it's instead of 24 hours worth of notice to parents, as a food allergy parent, it's at least 48 hours of notice. Those are my primary concerns. And I have talked to administration already, and we'll be handing them at some point my red pen once I finish reading for other issues. So thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, having no one further, we will move on with the approval of the minutes of our previous meeting. Board members have had a chance to read the minutes from the regular meeting of April 15th. Are there any additions or corrections? If not, if you are in favor of approval, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. No nays. Okay, at this time we come to the fun part. We have our student presentation, and that is Mr. Headings.
Yep, right over there.
Good evening, board members. How are we doing tonight?
We're doing good.
Thank you very much for having me, Superintendent Dr. Goggin. Tonight what I wanted to do was to share with you some math that's been going on across our district. Up here on the screen, we've been working on some math called building number sense and having rich math talk. And the idea behind these routines is to really build an understanding in our kids with their understanding of math, but making sure it makes sense to them. You know, working at the four elementaries, kind of listen to concerns of our kids not having a deep number sense understanding. So I kind of made it as my mission to go out and about, try to share my knowledge, co-teach with teachers, and do a lot of work with students. And so we'll go to the next slide. These are the classrooms that I've had the opportunity this year to be in. That basket you can see up there, the first two classes are actually classes that I've invited tonight to do some math with. All across our four elementaries, Mrs. Santora, second through fourth grade at Bassett, sharing with those kids how to use a rec and rec to build their number sense. And so one of the routines that we've been doing is something called an estimistry. And tonight I'm going to actually have my students, or Mrs. Larcy's and Mrs. Guerin's students back there, do an estimistry tonight with our board members. And I'm also going to invite any parents that you want to do it also. So what an estimistry is, and again, this is a routine that I've been doing in the classroom. It calls upon number sense, but what it does is it promotes math talk. I mean, we're building up mathematicians. They need to be able to understand that math, have conversations with one another, and this routine does that. But it's going to combine two components tonight. One is an estimation activity, and the other is using their other concepts that they've been learning about in the classroom. Anything from odd and even numbers to what a multiple is as a first grader, knowing what it means to multiply. So students are not only going to be discussing their estimations tonight, but they're going to be looking carefully at the math concepts and seeing how those are related with one another. So here's how an estimistry works. Each image is going to invite students, and again, I'm going to invite everybody to do this, represented by the image. What's going to happen is we're going to make an estimation on that image, and then I'm going to start revealing clues. And those clues are going to help us zero in on exactly what our estimation is. We've been talking a lot about estimations as being something that's reasonable. It has to make sense. It's just not a guess. We have to think about what is up there, and does our estimation truly make sense? So at this time, I'm actually going to invite all of our first graders that are here tonight and our fourth graders. They've got dry erase boards. They're going to come up around you board members, Dr. Goggin, and do this estimation with you. So I'm going to ask our teachers to help me out with this. And we're going to ask our first graders, go ahead and come on up, boys and girls. Don't be shy. So I'm going to have you guys just kind of walk through. I'm going to put you, let me go all the way over here.
Who's helping?
This is our treasure, so I'm going to have the two of you be right here. All right? So Katie, you can go right here with him.
No, that's not
you guys can
I'm Mr. Hopkins.
Right here.
Do you want a number chart?
All right.
Do you want a number chart?
So you boys go right here with Lozinski.
There's
several comfy chairs right on the end.
Mr. Kosovar, would you like to come on up? And I'm going to put you with the group of students also. Mr. Sheets, I would like for you to come on up also. We're going to bring these two gentlemen up here.
So who's working with
you? My guys.
You can have right here.
Okay.
You three.
Victor.
Who do I got? These three over here? Okay, all three of you guys?
You can come right here.
Done this before.
Yeah, two more here.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you can come right over here to Mr. Sheets.
Oh, did you really? All right.
Do it well. One of you want to go all the way over to Mr. Diaz. I'll send another one all the way to Mr. Kretz.
All right.
So how we start this estimation is we look at the glass jar, and at this time I ask my students to write down on their dry erase board how many beads do you believe, how many objects are in that glass jar. So boys and girls, go ahead and make your estimation, share it with the adult that you're with. Adults, also make an estimation. How many do you think is in that jar? There will be clues.
Okay.
39? What do you think?
I think it's 49.
You think it's 49?
So I think it should have been
52. And how about you over here? And what do you think? What number do you think?
Everybody's
going
44. Wait, 44?
I'm
not
going to
say.
I think I'm not. So how do you guys make your guess? How do you figure out your guesses?
Is it?
So what kind of clues?
So like, tell us how many
okay.
Last class?
Yes.
So one of the best parts about this routine is we as teachers can just bounce around and listen to the conversations that are going on. One of the other parts is when we look at the boards and we look at the numbers that kids have put down on their board, we can again begin to kind of think about where do we maybe need to go with our instruction? What do we need to maybe do different just based off of the first estimation? So at this time, we're going to go, here's our jar. It's the same jar. A lot of kids are like, but that's a bigger jar. No, same jar. It's just bigger on the screen. So we're going to release clues. So we'll do clue number one. What we do now is we look at our estimation to see if we need to change it.
Everyone, that's less than
100.
Yeah,
if it was 100 or more, it'd be filled like two
copies. Because
when we used to be filled
to the top, it was like 90. Oh, do you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Class!
Yes!
Thank you. So one of the things I ask the kids to do is when they write their estimations down is to not erase it if they decide to change it, but just to mark it out. That way we can kind of see their ideas of how they're going through their different estimations. So right now, boys and girls, we know for sure that the number of objects in that jar is what?
Less than 100.
So, clue number two. Ready.
The answer is
okay, so re-estimate it. Now, do you have, what's yours? Is that 49 or 47? 49? Okay, so cross that out and do another guess. You guys are both confused. Right?
So remember,
and you're going to get a 44, right?
Wait,
okay. No, so that means even number is even, right? So is your mine even? No, we got to change this. That's okay. But you know what? So don't erase it. Because then we change back, remember? Yeah.
Why did you change it? Nope. 9, 11 is your odd
number. Uh-huh. So now, what do you want to change yours to?
The 12 and 14.
You know it's odd. You want to get an odd number. I mean, an even number. Yeah. Probably something closer to what you're at, right? Okay. Yeah.
What plus what?
Right. I think so. I think you and I can probably change it. That means, yeah.
Class?
Yes!
So one of the things that we do in first grade is we allow the kids to use their hundreds chart to kind of mark out as we go through clues. Hundreds chart's a great way for kids to begin to see patterns within numbers. Many of the kids will start talking about that they notice that all my numbers that have the digit 3 in the ones place are now eliminated. All my numbers with the 7 or the 9. So it's just a great visual representation that they can see that these are my odd numbers that are going out. So how many of you had to make a change? Which means that your number is an even number, is that correct?
Yes.
Because we know it can't be what?
An odd.
And we know it has to be what?
Less than
100. All right, so let's go to clue 3.
Yay! The answer is
I have 50, so 50 is not going to work, right? 38 will work. So I'm going to go down to 48. You got 44, you've got, what are you going with?
Yes, that's right. So if it's not a multiple of 10, this is not, so this is not, that's not, right? Good. We're all good so far. We both have 600. She likes it right here.
It's all your cute. Mark all those out.
And what do you guys call those?
Which ones you're marking out now? What's that?
These ones.
Why?
Because there's no way there's 8 in that jar.
Oh, that's a good guess, yeah.
There's no way it's 2, 4, 6, 8, 12, 14, 16, right?
Yeah, I bet you're right.
It could be like 22.
Class?
Yes.
All right, at this time, we're going to release clue number 4.
Okay, so is your guess still one?
Yeah,
38? How do you have it?
So
now you can mark off all your clues. You can't have any twos in it. Now all your fours. Okay, and all your sixes. So your six are in there. So you got 36. It can't be anything with a 2.
Yeah, that would work. All right, what's that?
So basically, 58.
I'm going to go with
38.
I think you need your number. All right, I can get somebody else.
Yep, 56. Well, it can't be 60s.
Right.
Yeah, it can't be 60s.
I think we're all going to get 8.
It
can't be an odd number.
38, 58, 78, 88, or 98. So it's a good guess on it, you're
right.
So you both, you girl, about you guys thinking it's 38 cents?
Yeah.
Class.
Yes.
So, our number today, 4 clues. So when you look at your board for one final time, ask yourself, is your number less than 100?
Yes.
Okay. Is your answer an even number?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, it says not an odd number.
It's the same thing.
Okay, it's an even number. All right. Clue number 3, the answer is not a multiple of 10.
Yes.
And so, interesting, as I was listening over here, we were asking the question, like, what is a multiple of 10 to first grade? And one of the students over here was commenting about, well, it's not one of those numbers that has a 0 in the end of it. So we have this beginning understanding of what a multiple of 10 is at a first grade level. And multiples is something that we really don't start highlighting a lot until we get into third grade. Clue number 4, the answer does not include any of the digits, 2, 4, or 6. So what digit might be in your number?
8.
What other number?
3.
A 3. Okay.
A 1 and a 5 also can't be 8.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and hit the next one. One final time, boys and girls, look at your estimation. If you want to make a change, make a change.
You guys want to change? I think I'm going to do it.
All right, boys and girls, here we go.
Here it is.
50th.
Good job, guys.
Erase your boards, boys and girls. Cap your markers for me.
You guys.
Well done, guys.
And you may return to your seats, boys and girls.
Thank you very much for working with me. Thank you, ladies. Oh, thanks, buddy. Good job.
All right, you guys.
Okay, I got the answer right.
Did you?
That was fun.
Ah, I got it wrong.
Oh, what'd you put?
We put 38.
Me too.
I put 38. I did 38.
It's gonna ruin my night.
Wow.
She went with math guy. Scott. Huh? She went with math guy. You're good at guessing. That's how we typically get your forecast.
Okay, so we have another exciting part. Yes, that was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Really,
thank you.
Thank you
to Mrs. Larcy, Ms. Curran, and Mr. Headings, and thank you to the Bassett parents for bringing your kids in. That was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
So go ahead.
Okay, so we have another exciting part where we have our student recognition, and then after that, if you so choose, you may all leave. If you don't want to stay around and hear the five-year forecast. Okay, so student recognition, where do we start?
We'll head over here. We'll call up Mr. Wilson, if we could. And I think he is going to begin by recognizing Jack Williams.
Yes. I wish I had that much fun with Matt. I did not. But thank you. It was very. It looks like a lot of fun. Jack, come on up. So we're here tonight, and there's so many people here to recognize you. So Jack is getting recognized for a perfect ACT score of a 36. Perspective. I gathered some stats. I like to find stats out about these things. So, this year there were 3,741 students who received a perfect ACT score across the country. That is less than 0.25% in the nation. So, well done. Jack's one of the top students in this class, but he's also involved in numerous activities, athletics. And Jack also has already qualified for the National Merit Competition. He's one of 11 students that we have in that pool. So next year, Jack will find out if he's a semifinalist, commended, finalist, or whatnot. So I'm sure, as I think of this week at Westlake High School, we have scholarship night, and I'm sure next year at scholarship night, about this time, you and I will probably meet him again on stage at Westlake PAC to receive some scholarships. So we're very proud of you. We have 12 total students who received a perfect score since 2014. So like I said, to put that in perspective, you did a wonderful job, and we're proud of you. And even more, to put that also in perspective, we also had 5 students score a 35. So things are going well. Jack did an excellent job. So thank you, Jack. Congratulations.
I was enjoying the moment. you have National Merit.
Okay, perfect segue, National Merit. National Merit, our students, you can go through different levels of National Merit. So you have National Merit Commended, you have National Merit Semifinalist, and National Merit Finalist. Essentially, what it boils down to, and then who we're gonna recognize tonight, are National Merit Scholarship Winners. The National Merit Scholarship Winners, 1.6 million students take the PSAT, which is a junior test. That's the one I just mentioned that Jack qualified for next year. Of those 1.6 million, they get down to about 2,500 students who qualify for scholarships out of 1.6 million. We actually have 3 students who were recognized tonight, and I just received 2 things in the mail today that if certain students decide to change where they're going to school, they'll also get scholarship money there. So of our 6 finalists, we know of 5 that have potential money. So that's great. So of these, with these students, we have Isabella DeJulia, who I don't know, tonight is also the band banquet, so there are a lot of students not here. But we have Isabella DeJulia, who will be recognized this week as well at our scholarship night, Megan Atandon, as well as Talia Zhang. Like I said, they're probably at the banquet tonight, but I would like to say, to put that in perspective even further, there are about 105 students that I could gather in the entire state of Ohio that received a National Merit Scholarship. We have three. So we're very proud of that stat and very proud of that fact. So they're not here, but I would like to give them a round. Yes, sir. All right. Mr. Purdy, could you step up, please? So if you follow along with our Twitter or Mrs. Bombasuto's information, we have an unbelievable engineering and technology program at Westlake High School that we're super proud of. We just had maybe some of the students, we had Bassett students over this past, about maybe 10 days ago, doing some different things. Mr. Purdy is going to talk about some of the awards that they won recently on behalf of Mr. Kutz, and we do have some of the students here, but I'll turn it over to Mr. Purdy and let him talk a little bit.
So there was a competition a little over a month ago, and it's for the Ohio Technology Engineering Educators Association, that's a big one, all together. But what it is, in a nutshell, is we get all the tech ed teachers in the state of Ohio, we have a big conference, and part of that is we are able to bring projects of what we've been doing with our students. The best ones we have, and we take them, and they're all kind of judged into nine different categories. So tonight we have, in two of those categories, which Connor Reese isn't here tonight, I haven't seen him, but he was best of runner-up, best of show award for a solar submersible project in the engineering category. So he got second place out of all students in the state of Ohio for the engineering, which is, out of nine categories, it's pretty good to be in second place. Ethan Simon, who is here today, we actually can stand up. Maybe we can see each other. All right. He won the second best show for 3D printing in the manufacturing rapid prototyping technology category. What was it? What was the project called?
It's my senior 3D printing
collection. Oh, it was the whole collection. You should see this kid. He's got armadillos that he holds like babies, squid that are squishy. I mean, it is, if you talk to him, he's probably like, he knows more than I do, I can tell you that right now. I mean, he is very immersed in it, so I'm very proud of him. And then out of all those projects, out of the top, or out of the nine, they take one project and give it what's called the Sapanic Award, and that is the best project for the entire state of Ohio for this year. And the team of Ethan Smith, Connor Reese, Robert Fulop, which you're here also, and Austin Loosley, they got that for the multi-unit townhouse and energy efficient model home design and the construction and architecture category. So it is a not exactly 100% rarity, but it is a big honor to get that. And it's also judged by some industry people and all the other teachers from the state, so it's people kind of like really know what they're looking at. A lot of detail goes into it, a lot of work. They do display boards, write-ups, a huge binder of information, research. You guys spent about a whole quarter, 9 weeks on the project. So they work very hard on it, and they are very deserving of it.
The high school kids did a fabulous job with the elementary kids. The Bassett fourth graders, if you're here, raise your hand, because I saw quite a few of them. Wasn't it a fun day?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had fun. And so at the end, he says, well, and he, fabulous job on your 3D printing. So he said, we could use this printer. But what was the cost of it? I was like, $250,000 or something. What was the first one you asked for?
The first one, Mr. Chris asked.
Oh.
Mr. Chris asked for that one.
And what was the price on that?
He asked for $50,000.
Oh, it was $50,000, and I don't think we can do that one. And so you came up with one that was what?
About under $5,000.
Under $5,000. So I said, I'll see what I can do. So I promptly told Dr. Goggin, I said, I promised him a new 3D printer. I got no reply from him. So we'll see. We're keeping our fingers crossed.